קטן.
אין מה לעשות, ניקח קטן. תשמי קטן.
אז
מלאכים מלאכים א' ג'
מלאכים א' ג' תמיד לך, אתה חתן תודה 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 Got some kind of lucky on it.
With your permission, this is Menachem Aleph, chapter 3. This is just to revive our memory. We learned before the first two chapters, meaning the last one, the story about Shlomo HaMelech became the king. And in the meantime, as a king, he does fulfill his father's will, and he gets rid of, you may say, the people that his father asked him to get rid of. He got rid of them. And the last pasuk of chapter 2 ends b'mamlacha nachon Nabiyah Shlomo, but it means whatever he did. He did right, and whatever he killed, whoever he killed with the right decision, and everything is ready for him to rule Am Yisrael. You have to remember, at this time, Shlomo HaMelech is only 12 years old. We're not talking about somebody that has experience, that he went and he learned how to become a king. He's a boy, 12 years old, and the Navi describes his kingdom that everything is perfect to him. Even though it sounds like he killed some people, Chachamim say no, what it means, that sentence, is that everybody agrees with him, and not only that, some Chachamim say, what it means is whatever he did, he would not be punished, that he killed Yoav, that he killed Jimmy, that everything is perfect. We hear permission, chapter 3, sentence 1. Vayichaten Shlomo et Paro melech Mitzrayim. ויקח את בת פרעה ויביאה העיר דוד עד כלותו לבנות את ביתו לבית השם את חומת ירושלים סביב. The simple explanation and translation that after he killed Shimei, as we just learned, sounds like that immediately after he decided to get married to Paro's daughter. Power is, again, is not a personal name, this is just a title that we call a king, we call a president. So power is just a title for the king of Egypt. We don't know his first name. But Shlomo HaMelech decided to get married to his daughter. The Gemara has a big debate in Masechet Yevamot. It's not so simple. Question number one is, Tam Chachamim said that you cannot even convert them. You cannot convert them. And he converted them. Yeah, I mean, she's the first one. He will do some more maybe later. So he converted a girl. The machlokes in the Gemara, as it says in the Gemara, lo tichaten bam. No. It says, do not intermarry with them, with the non-Jewish girls. So Chachamim said, it means do not intermarry with them while they still goyot, before conversion. And some Chachamim in the Gemara says, even after conversion. Not only that, I'm sorry?
Any
non-Jewish
girls?
No, Dimitri, yeah. Because she is Egyptian. An Egyptian, you have to wait at least 3 generations. Some Chachamim said no. So 3 generations, it says Banim. It says in the Torah, boys, and that's a girl. Maybe a girl you allow. But the Gemara says that the whole idea of Shlomo married the Bat Paro is not so simple. The Rambam in his commentary writes that Shlomo as well as Shimshon did convert the girls they married, But again, all the Chachamim said eventually, when you read Sefer Menachim and what we read in Sefer Shoftim, they did not behave as Jewish girl, and therefore the conversion is, if I wouldn't say a doubtful conversion, but that conversion sounds like that it was not a full conversion, the way they're being described later in Sefer Menachim by the Navi. They did not behave as Jewish mothers. They just behaved like Goyot. They used to worship Avodah Zarah. Shlomo Melech had no influence on them, had no say with them. So sounds that the conversion, even according to those Chachamim, that he did convert them here, right now, is that conversion really did not take off and did not stay valid later. That means, put some questions about it. So Rabbi tells us that Shlomo Melech got married to the daughter of Pharaoh. He brought her by Via and Ir David. He brought her to Ir David, means to Yerushalayim, at Kaloto, until he finished Livnot et Beto et Bet Hashem et Chumat Yerushalayim. So this is the Gemara says what it means, really, that even though he brought her to Yerushalayim, still he did not build her house first. First he finished the house of the Bet HaMikdash, and then he finished her. Just for our information, Beit HaMikdash took about 7 years, her house, her palace, he built only for 13 years. It means a good husband, as we call today, Mother's Day. So Mother's Day means that you build your wife a palace 13 years. Who knows what he had to do over there? Beit HaMikdash took only 7 years the most, and her palace 13 years.
Do we have any information married another woman?
Yeah.
Before her?
Oh, before her? No. Before
the first woman
no.
He went to battle?
Yeah, that's the information that we have.
Amen. Do you never have children from this wife?
There's no information. We do have information that he had one son, Rehavam. From again, a girl that was a convert as well, but she was described by Chachamim as a tzaddiket, something maybe comparable to Ruth Amavia, and it was Naama Amonit. Naama is a very, I would say, bad name. She's never ever named a girl Naama. Even though Noach's wife as well, her name was Naama, but because Noach's wife, her name was Naama, Noach maybe had a child, his name was Ham. And Rehovam, of course, was a good in a way, but again, he lost the Melucha completely. He ignored the advice of the old people, and just because of his behavior, Am Yisrael was split, and Am Yisrael became like two nations that we will learn that Hashem later fight between 10 tribes and 2 tribes, with Benjamin constantly, and the one to blame for really is Rehovam. Again, it was not the root of the problem, if you remember, but on the surface, the way we read it, is Rehavam, but not listening to the old people that when after Shlomo died, they came to Rehavam and asked, please lift the taxes, what we call, just give rebate to the people, to go to the Senate and give each family $400, let them be quiet, and Rehavam said, no, he said, come back, let me think about it, and instead to take the advice of the old people that told him, listen, don't start up with them because they're going to rebel. He listened to the young people, those hot-blooded children, and they told him, you just tell them you're going to do even worse than your father. And he came out like with nothing to think about Am Israel, and he told them, whatever my father did to you, I'm going to do even double. Avi yiseh otchem b'shotim, v'ani yaseh otchem b'akrabayim. My father hit you with whip, and I'm going to hit you with thorns. And the minute that Am Yisrael heard it, they screamed, let's go on a strike, and they all ran home, and 10 tribes immediately separated from the kingdom of Rehovam. And this was a punishment in a way, of course, and this some Chachamim say happened because Rehovam's mother was Naama, and therefore the son, Rehovam, in all the respect, had no luck. I don't know if you realize or not, but then we had a very important person in the army, his name was Rehavam Zeevi Gandhi, that was killed by a machshimam on the service in one of the hotels in Yerushalayim a few years ago, if you remember. And again, all the Chachamim say you have to, before you name a child a name, just look in the Tanakh. What was the name of that person that you want to name on? And when you name the child, you think twice. Because you look in the Tanakh and you see this person had a very hard life. Don't expect your son to have a rosy life. Because Rahman had a very, very hard life. Again, he was the one that was responsible for the split in Am Israel and all the wars that took place between Yehuda and Israel, that hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people were killed in those what we call brotherhood war. That's the personal responsibility of Rahman. So Rahman blamed it on his mother, that she was Naama Amonit, and Naama is a very tough and a bad name in a way, and this is really one of the girls that we know. But Shlomo Melech himself, and the Bible will tell you later, that he married 1,000 non-Jewish sheikhs.
Only from the Tushvatim?
Only from the Tushvatim, according to the Gemara. Right. According to the Gemara, the 10 tribes, most of the Chachamim agree that they are still behind the Sambatium's river, far away underneath Yemen. This is where the place is going. That's Chachamim. And if I mentioned in the lectures before, what one Chacham, his name was Eldad Hadani, arrived 950 years ago to Syria, to Iraq, and he said that he is one of the 10 tribes. He described how they live behind the river Sambatium, and he said, all of us are there, talking millions of people right now. Is one opinion in the Gemara that Yirmiyahu HaNavi went and was able to collect, if I may say, some of the tribes, but most of the Chachamim disagree with that opinion, and they say that we are only from Judah and Benjamin, and of course, we have some Kohanim and Levim, very few, though most of the Kohanim and Levim were killed by Yimach Shimam, by the Romans when they came to Beit HaMikdash, only a few of them were left. Therefore, we don't have so many Kohanim and Levim. They were killed by Nebuzaradan, first in the first Beit HaMikdash, when the Am Yisrael went to exile to Babel, and then when the Ezra asked them to come from Babel, some of them did not want to come, and they stayed in Babel. And then the second Beit HaMikdash also, they killed, if you read the Yosefus Flavius, you see what the Romans killed all the Kohanim and Beit HaMikdash, the first and the second one.
What are the people that are living underneath the ground?
Those are the 10 tribes sitting on anything ground.
The
Sambatium is on the bottom. When you start going down, like if you want, if somebody is going to cover an entrance to a big cave, okay, the road that goes into a cave, and behind this cave there is a river.
No archaeology says that under the Dead Sea is another water that comes to the Greek. It says a big river under the Dead Sea.
That's right.
But that's not the Sambatium.
Most of the Chachamim say it's behind, underneath Yemen. It's behind Iraq.
Did you say someone once came over?
Entirely, right.
Yeah.
950 years ago.
Yeah.
And Chachamim trusted him very much. Not only did they trust him very much, they learned some halachot from him. And he didn't know anything about Mishnah, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, nothing. They ask him questions, he knew all the halachot better, some of them better than them. And when they ask him, how do you know it, he said, my rabbi told it to me in his name of his rabbi, that he learned it from his rabbi all the way up to Yeshua ben Nun, that learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, that learned the Tia Gvura. That every answer he gave was that answer. He's no Rabbi Shimon Yochai, he never heard about Rabbi Shimon Yochai, no Rabbi Akiva, no Tanaim, no Amoraim, nobody, he doesn't know anybody. Because they left Eretz Yisrael time of Hizkiyahu HaMelech. It's about 100 years before the destruction of the first Temple. But Shlomo HaMelech, that's what the Navi says, he went and he got married to that girl. But he didn't say that he was from Hizkiyahu. That Chacham, his name was Eldad, he came and they asked him, how do you know the things? He said, I know it from my rabbi from his rabbi, up to Yeshua ben Nun, from Moshe Rabbeinu and Piyak Vora. At every answer, he gave that answer. Now we have some halachot that he taught us. That those Chachamim, Rabbi Tzemach Gaon, this was the top rabbis at the time in Iraq, in Syria, they investigated him, and he came in front of all the Chachamim in those days, and they tried to see if the man is a faker. They just pretending he's one of the 10 tribes, and they asked him a lot of questions. He knew too much, not that he knew too much, he knew more than them. And certain halachot that we have today, in Hilchot Shechita, and other halachot, it says in the Mordechai, in Shulchan Aruch, this we learn from this person, his name was Eldad Adani from Shevedan. In his description, he described how many people and what good life they have, and they all live together, and there's no fight. It's a book, apparently, I think it's presented in English, maybe. Again, but in Hebrew, definitely, you can find the book. It's called Eldad Adani. Eldad was Moshe's half-brother. Right. So nevertheless, again, this is chapter 3, sentence 1, Sefer Melachim Aleph. So the first sentence, the opening of the chapter was that Shlomo HaMelech got married to that girl, the daughter of Pharaoh, and he is building her palace. He brought her to Yerushalayim. He is going to build also a Bet Hashem, it means Bet HaMikdash, Bet Chumat Yerushalayim, so he is going to build the wall around Yerushalayim. But again, this will take about 7 years, but he is going to build a palace for her for 13 years. He is going to marry her on the day that he is going to open Bet HaMikdash, or maybe a little bit before. Sentence you to your permission, our time is the Kimba Vamot. The same explanation of the sentence again is only the nations still are sacrificing in private altars. Let's call Vamot private altars, and the reason why they're sacrificing is because he it means since Bet HaMikdash was not built yet, therefore the halacha is even though Shiloh was already a cut in the permission to build your own private altar, since the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed, now the Mishkan is in Gibeon, since the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed, therefore you are allowed to have a private altar. And Navi tells us, you should know, the nation are still sacrificing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the backyard, each one of them, or all of them, or some of them, building a private altar, and they're sacrificing. You're not allowed to do it after Bet HaMikdash is going to be built forever, but right now Bet HaMikdash was not built yet, and therefore the Navi tells you a story, and it sounds like a story, and says this is some information, if you want to know what's going on, we'll tell you, people have private altars, and people sacrifice on the private altars. This is why you have to know it. It's the Navi. And what do you gain from that sentence? You don't learn anything from it. It's just information. Nobody asks you anything about it. Where people are sacrificing. There's no such thing. It's a holiday now that you have to know. It says nothing. It's just a dry piece of information that the nation are sacrificing on private altars. No, it's permitted.
Permitted?
Yeah, it's permitted. Since the Mishkan in Shiloh was destroyed, you are re-permit to sacrifice on the private altar. Since the Gemara, after Bet HaMikdash was built, you may not ever build a private altar to sacrifice. Until Bet HaMikdash is being built, it depends. In the time of Shiloh, Shiloh's Mishkan was on for 369 years. At that time, no one was allowed to have a private altar in his backyard. Everybody who ever wanted to sacrifice and made a donation, or had a promise, or he wanted to bring a sacrifice, he had to go to Shiloh. Shiloh, this is a place not far from Yerushalayim, in the territory of Yosef. After Shiloh was destroyed after 369 years, this is the time of Eliyah Kohen, it was the Mishkan in Shiloh, then the Mishkan went to Nov, and from Nov, after Shaul HaMelech killed the Kohanim, went to Gibeon. Altogether, Nov and Gibeon are 57 years. And now the Mishkan is in Gibeon, but people are allowed to sacrifice in the backyard if they build themselves an altar. And then Navi says, the nation are sacrificing in the private altars because Ki Lo Nivna Bayit Hashem Hashem Bayit Hashem Hashem. There's no better than this. What is all this information? Sentence 3 by Yav Shlomo et Hashem. This is also a very nice statement that Shlomo HaMelech loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To go on the path of the laws of his father. What it means is he keeps the Torah. Rak ba'bamot u'mezabeach u'maktir. Again, only you should know that in Shlomo HaMelech he does sacrifice at the private altars. Again, because Bet HaMikdash is not ready yet.
He says
Maktir,
right? That's
the Torah? Yeah. Both. Like Tir Emorim. Like Tir Emorim doesn't mean Torah only. No.
But there are a lot of
offers
Torah
outside of Mishkan also? No. So it means it's not Torah only. You're right.
Well, they didn't have a Mishkan Torah.
Huh?
They didn't have a Mishkan Torah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, of course they did. So the Navi tells us that Shlomo loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lechad Rukot of David, he goes on the path of the laws of David, Barak Bamot Lomim Zerodia. A chapter sentence from the permission of Yerech, Amelat Givonan, is Boar Shem, Ki Iki Abba Magdala, so he goes to Givon. Givon, again, this was the altar in Givon, and in Givon, even though you are allowed to have private altars, in Givon you could find the original altar that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the desert, and Shlomo HaMelech goes over there. Again, Bet HaMikdash is not on yet, and the Mishkan is in Givon, so he goes there to sacrifice. He here, Abba Magdala, but it means not as big, doesn't mean over here in the size, it means this is the important altar, again, because this is the altar that Moshe Rabbeinu did build, it was made from copper.
This is the one from Mishkan.
Right. The original altar that we brought from the desert, and it was first in the Gilgal, then in Shiloh, then in Nob, and now in Givon. And Shlomo, he goes to Givon to sacrifice himself. Ele folot yale Shlomo ala mizbeach ahu.
But why is it called Bama?
Well, because Bama and Bama and Mizbeach is the same thing.
Okay.
So Bama Gdola. That's the Mishnah and Mishnah Miglas is the same thing. Ele folot, 1,000 Olot sacrifice. Olot means burned completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ya'alev Shlomo ala Mizbeach Ahu. It's no information if it's Monday or it's a few days. Gemara says, one day. Gemara says, in one day he sacrificed 1,000 animals. Sounds, I mean, it is complying that he loved on that altar. On one altar he sacrificed 1,000 animals for Hashem. Now Olot means that nothing is going to be eaten. Olah means Kalil Hashem. It means the whole animal is straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That comply with the sentence it says before, that the three by Shlomo et Hashem. He loved Hashem so much. Therefore he sacrificed 1,000 animals. Sounds, you know, that's what we call the best friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By the way his name is Yedidya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his name is Shlomo, we call him Shlomo. But Hashem did not approve that name. I wouldn't say it's not approved. Hashem chose to name him Yedidya. Yedidya in Hebrew means a friend of Hashem. Yedidya, a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem called him that. That's when he was born, Shlomo was born. So in Sefer Shmuel, when Shlomo was born, David called him Shlomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said his name is Yedidya. And it sounds very nice that Hashem loves him. He loves him. He loves Hashem as well. That's what Nabi says. He loves Hashem, and he goes and he sacrifices on this altar and gives him 1,000 animals, but no one is going to eat. It's the highest level of sacrifice that everything is being burned on the altar. Nobody is eating anything. It's called Korban Olah, the sacrifice of Olah. And that's what Nabi says. Very nice and very, very good person. He's perfect. In the same moment that he does it, and he sacrifices 1,000 olot, so the Rebbe says, "Begivon nira Hashem Shlomo b'chalom alayla." And again, to remember, he's about 12 years old now, about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does appear to him in Givon. Sounds because he sacrificed 1,000 animals over there, and he goes over there. He doesn't sacrifice in a private. Altar goes to the important one that Moshe Rabbeinu built, and he's going to sacrifice. He's going to sacrifice. HaKadosh, he goes to sleep over there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him. Now, usually in the Tanakh, usually when Hashem arrives to someone, he doesn't say b'chalom alayla. Chalom alayla means a dream in the middle of the night. to be in the Torah, if you look in the Torah, the time that says in the Torah, "B'chalom alayla," that Hashem appeared, it was not such a good moment. Like Hadash Bahud says, "B'chalom," he did appear to Bilam, the one that occurred from Israel. He did appear to Lavan. It does not appear, doesn't say that it appeared to Abraham, "B'chalom alayla," and not to Yitzchak. It says it happened one time to Yaakov. Hashem appears to Yaakov b'chalom. This is when Yaakov is going to exile. When something, not in the Sunnah. The Sunnah doesn't, right. The way it doesn't say the word Hashem appeared to him. It says, Vinei Hashem Yitzchak alav ayomar. It says, the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dream, to say, description, Hashem came to him in a dream, that it's not the best description. And again, that's what Navi says about Avimelech, that's what Hashem says about Lavan, this is not such a good thing. Over here, and Navi says, Hashem came to Shlomo at night in a dream. And Shlomo is one of the Nevi'im that we had, that Hashem speaks to him. And again, the first appearance that this person gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Chalom HaLaila. You don't have the description of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's in B'chalom alayla. B'chalom alayla, again, is not a best description. The best description is, V'yomer Hashem el Shlomo. Hashem spoke to Shlomo. You don't say, you don't have to tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Shlomo B'chalom alayla. V'yomer Elokim she'alma eten lach. So it says that Hashem is asking him, what shall I give you? First of all, it says, V'yomer Elokim. It's Midat Hadin. Elohim usually means the judge. It says Vayomer Hashem. If it says Elohim, it's not the best appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means you're in court right now. You're downtown Manhattan. You're not in Boca Raton. It says, you have some, it is a problem already here. I says, what's the problem? I don't see what's the problem here. I said, everything is fine. Nevertheless, Nabi describes it. And again, that Shlomo should really detect it, that the appearance is not Hashem. It says, "B'givon yirah Hashem Shlomo b'chalom alayla." Sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Yud Kivavki, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, but again it says b'chalom alayla, and it all of a sudden becomes Elohim. We'll get to it later if you remind me to say it why. Sha'al ma'etzen lach, it says that's the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks somebody, what do you want? This is something very strange. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks somebody what you want. First of all, if it would be me, I would talk about this, you don't have to ask me. You know what I need. You don't ask me what I need. You know what I need. I mean, it's a trick. The Gemara said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Hezekiah, spoke to Bilam, he spoke to Cain. Every time he asked him a question, the answer should be, you know Hashem. Hezekiah has trouble because whatever you say is going to be wrong. So Hashem asks you something, he says, it's like a cinema, your honor, you know the answer. So the Gemara, Bilam, Hashem asked him, who are the people? He started to say, the Gemara said, don't answer this. Hezekiah, Hashem asked him, what is this? Kain, Hashem asked him, where is heaven? He says, the answer should be, Hashem, please, you know the answer. What do you expect him to say? If you have the zuchut, the merit, Hashem speaks to you, don't fall into a trap, says the Gemara. Here comes the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and ask Shlomo HaMelech, the first one, and if I would say the only one in the generations that we know that Hashem asks somebody, what shall I give you? I says, what kind of question is this? So Kama is going to give him an answer. Right, Adin is asking. So the question is, why am I Adin? Right. And Adin never asked this question. Certainly. Right. The permission sentence is very much Shlomo, Atah, Sitem, Abdecha, David, Avi, Chesed, Gadol, Tashalach, Lefanecha. He says, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, you were very kind with my father. Kasher alach lefanecha be'emet v'tzaka v'yishrat leva v'imach, that David HaMelech went with you in front of you with truth and with righteousness and with a straight heart, but yishmor lo et ha'chesed ha'gadol hazeh, you kept kindness, the big kindness from my father. But he tell no then, you gave him a son, Yeshua Kisotka Yamazeh, you gave him a son, he refers to himself, that me, I'm sitting on my father's chair with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness. At time, now Hashem Elokai, please God Almighty, at time, Master of the Chatach David Avi, you help me to be the king on my father's feet, I'm very young, Chachamim said. What it means is, he's exactly 12 right now. So the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to him, he says, according to Chachamim, that he is now, says, V'anuchi now, katon, I'm a very small child, I am 12 years old. I don't know what to do to come in and to go out and come in. Abdecha betochamcha Hashem achata, sentence 8, with your permission, I am your slave, that I dwell among your nation that you chose to. Am Rav Asher Ibn Ibn Sefer Marov, so many people that you can even count them. Some Chachamim said about maybe 10 million people. Some Chachamim said 6 million. This is a lot of candidates for argument. The Atatala Abdecha, please, what I will need from you, if you ask me what I want, I would ask you to give me lef shomea, a heart that can hear, listen, mishpote tamcha labim eto laraz, that I should know the difference between good and bad, in order for me to judge the nation. Ki mi yuchal mishpote tamcha kaved hazeh, who can and who may judge this nation? Chachamim said what it means is that he really refers to the punishment on the judge, if he judges wrong, is very significant punishment. That you cannot, a judge cannot just, you know, give this guy the money and take from this guy the money. The Gemara says the judge is responsible. If the judge doesn't know what's going on, and two people come to him and they have an argument, and the judge says, okay, you pay him, although you pay him. So they go home and he pays him or he pays him. So the Gemara, if the judge is wrong, it means the judge is responsible for theft. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to demand it from the judge, any mistakes he does, besides that he might have to pay from his own pocket for damages. It's only about something like this that's called something with money. That can be Chas V'Shalom, they can kill an innocent person, or can do any bad decision. So this is the judge's responsibility. And therefore he says, Shlomo HaMelech says, Kimi yuchal ishpot adamcha kaved hazeh, Rashi brings it in the Chumash, that Shlomo HaMelech refers not that he is not capable to do it, he is afraid to do it, unless he will be very, very smart in order for him to fulfill his obligation, since he is the king, he's going to be busy judging people, and therefore he needs the instrument, and he feels that he must have a lot of wisdom in order to judge.
Why does the courts go to the king? And this is a gleam that that's why would Amishrael have a...
And that's the king's obligation.
Judge?
Right. That's what David HaMelech started. Shaul really did not do it, but that's what David HaMelech started. David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am the one that's sitting from morning to evening and judge people. And Shlomo is going to do the same thing. And if you remember, this was Moshe's job right away when he came from the Shemaim, and he started to do this, and then he told him, you can do it by yourself. But what it means, the Gemara says, this is one of the big things that a person can make peace between people, and this is that people have arguments, so that next means that as a court case, it means to put, if I would say, in between them the peace. And this is one of the biggest things that a person can do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oref Shalom v'Rodef Shalom v'Tahona Kohendi, that's the Gemara says, that if a person does it, he is a partner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he put peace in the world. It's not an obligation on the king, it doesn't say in the Torah that this is one of the mitzvot he has to do. But again, David HaMelech chose it, and again, the first one that we know was Moshe Rabbeinu. So chapter 7 says, your permission after Shlomo HaMelech, he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu an answer for the request that Hashem asked him, what do you want? Shlomo HaMelech said, well, I need to have a lot of wisdom, again, in order to judge the nation. It sounds that's the smartest thing, and again, sounds like that he is really all for the rest of Am Yisrael, he's nothing for himself. He says, I'm a little boy, I'm 12 years old, and I need to judge, and I don't know what to do. Please just give me a good heart that I will be able to listen and to judge Am Yisrael. Here we find a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Shlomo, he says in Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's the name of mercy, name Shem HaRachamim. Then when Hashem really speaks to him, he speaks to him as a judge, it says Elohim. Here comes the third name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. the way we pronounce Hashem's name is Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yud. All of a sudden, the Navi says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears as a Yud Kevav Ke. I mean, the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you may say, is like appearance of mercy. When he speaks to him, he speaks to him as a judge. When Shlomo Melech answers his answer, as Hashem says, I love the answer, not Hashem says it, not Elohim says it, Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yud answers it. This is called another name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has said the names, mainly, those are the most important names if we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Yud Kei Vav Kei, another one is Elohim, and this is the third one. It is Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yud. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love it. Again, he doesn't speak to him. He only looks at him. And who is happy with the answer? The happy with the answer is a third, as we may say, third entity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yud. This is what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared in Yud Kei Vav Kei. Speaks to him, Aleph, Lamed, Hey, and Yud, and Mem, Elohim. Now all of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves it. He loves it, Aleph, Daled, Nun, and Yud. What happened to the other two names? Yishar Shlomo, Tadavar Azir, Hashem is very happy. Shlomo asked this question. Remember Elohim Elav, here comes again, sentence 11. It says, not Hashem, not Aleph Daled Nun and Yud that loved it. All of a sudden Hashem speaks to him again from Elohim, the judge is talking to him. It says, look at the confusion that we have here, that Shlomo HaMelech says something very nice, that we think it's very nice, Hashem loves it, and in the meantime the judge is speaking to him again. It says, the one that loved him so much was Aleph Daled Nun and Yud. And the entity that speaks to him is Elohim again. Since you asked this question, you didn't ask to live for a long life, you didn't ask for wealth, you did not ask that I should get rid of your enemies, you just asked that you want to understand and to listen and to be able to judge. I already fulfilled your request. You already got it. Already I gave you right now a very special heart. Very smart and understandable heart. Excuse me. Nobody was as smart as you before. Nobody else will come after you. Sounds like a big grant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Shlomo HaMelech, that now he's going to be the smartest ever.
He
said he wanted for this, right? That doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving it only to the Mishpat. Since you asked it for Mishpat, Hashem said, I already gave you that thing already. Hashem shot something inside his heart. He is the smartest one. It's a little bit disturbing that we're talking about the heart of him. Usually when you want to describe somebody chacham, smart, you don't describe it in his heart. You say, okay, that's the Kabbalah already, you know, that's Levin. But when you describe somebody smart, you don't tell him you have a smart heart. You know, a smart head.
The heart or the brain?
Right, it should be the brain. Right. And over here it says, in sentence 12, that Hashem tells him that already I gave you a very smart heart. Of course, he himself, Shlomo, when he speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at sentence 9 also he says that he wants his heart to hear, but he doesn't say that he wants his heart to be smart. Chacham. He said, Lev Shomea. He says, Lev Shomea, maybe I can understand, maybe not, but you know, okay, he wants his heart to understand, so it's a slang maybe, but you don't say Lev Chacham. You don't say Lev Chacham. You say Moa Chacham, brain Chacham. Your head, he has a good head. You don't say he has a good heart. If you want to see this guy is a genius, he has a good heart. You say great but has a good heart. For good heart, he can run America.
No.
הנה עשיתי כדבריך, הנה נתתי לך לב חכם ונבון, אשר כמוך עולה לפניך ואחרי רואה יוקום. It says, no more of a habit. וגם אשר אם לא שאלת, נתתי לך, since you were so smart and you didn't ask for things that are not important, I gave it to you anyway. And I don't know if it's a dessert or this is just, you know, extra. And he says, I gave you something. Gam osher, wealth, gam kavod, respect. Asher lo yachamocha ish bamlachim kol yamecha, it's nobody going to be like you, was never like you. He says, everybody is going to respect you, and you're going to be, may say, one of the wealthiest ones, or one, and you're going to have as much wealth as you can get. Sentence 14, the interest of the heart, and here comes an if. If comes the if, the intellect of the Ahai, but also, if you keep and you walk on my path, I mean, until now he did not say anything. He said, okay, you got it. You got to be smart, and you got the wealth, and you got already the respect. But I have to tell you something conditional. If you're going to go on my path, tishmor chukai mitzvotai kasher atari davicha, to keep the mitzvot, darachti et yamecha, then you can live long life. By the way, he died very young, at age of 52.
He was a king for
40
years.
Right. Oh.
It's a long time.
Right. But he died fairly young. That's what it says over here. If, it means you can live long if you keep the mitzvot. Obviously, Chachamim said no, that he died at age of 52. It means that if was not fulfilled by him. I can send this 15 with your permission. I touched Shlomo in Yechalom. Shlomo got up and in Yechalom. Sounds like tarot. I don't like it so much, you know. Even Yaakov Avinu, when he had a dream, and about the ladder, the angels are going up and down, and it doesn't say Bine Chalom. He gets by Taro, a Goy. You know, a Goy gets up after Hashem appears to him, and he sees him in Chalom, it's a dream. I said, it doesn't sound nice.
Why?
It should say that Shlomo got up, but Yavo Yerushalayim, you don't have to say, Vayikat Shlomo Bine Chalom. What do you mean, Nechalom? It's the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu face to face when he's saying in a dream. So then the description should not be, he got up and it's a dream. What do you mean it's a dream? It's really, it's not reality. So the Chachamim, some Chachamim say. That's what it means, the Midrash says, that means he got up, all of a sudden he hears the birds. He hears the birds, he knows what the birds are talking. It means that the dream was fulfilled instantly, immediately, that he asked from Hashem to have some wisdom, and Hashem just did it in the dream in one split second. In one split second he gets up, and over the next column he says, I just had a dream! And already the dream was fulfilled, that Hashem already did what he promised me. That's what the Midrash says. Rebbe Yerushalayim, he came to Yerushalayim, ve'yamod lifnei Aron b'rit Hashem. Uncle again says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in Aleph, Daleth, Nun, Yud. If you can see it, usually it's a very strange in the Tanakh, in the Torah as well. I think in the whole Tanakh, I think you have this name appears 144 times or so.
Why is the Aaron in Yerushalayim and the staff of
the Because David brought the Aaron to Yerushalayim. Why he didn't leave it in Givon? Because Givon was only semi Mishkan. And he brought it that time to Yerushalayim, and he left it in Yerushalayim. He knew that the place is going to be Yerushalayim, but in the meantime he left it there. I don't know, it's a good question. But yeah, the Lord, he sacrificed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olot. Again, Olot is a sacrifice that everything is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody shares anything. The Kohanim don't get anything, and the person that brings it doesn't get anything. That's called Olot. So before, if you remember, Shlomo, when he said Shlomo loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much, then he brought 1,000. He says 1,000 sacrifices, Olot. Over here it doesn't say how many. It says Vayal Olot. It doesn't say, there's no information how many. It doesn't say 1,000. So probably it's not more than 1,000, because that was really the description. But probably less than 1,000. Vayal Shlamim. Now he also does Shlamim. Shlamim is sacrifices, not completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he brings sacrifices as well to people to eat. V'yas mishteh l'chol avadav, that he is going to make a party. A party for what? Because of Chacham says the dream, the dream was good, so he's making a party. Making a party? Because he had a dream, so he's making a party for his slaves, for his friends, I don't know. So why make a party for this? Give permission to Arisa the Jews. Permission. You say three times a day in Shmona Yisrael, Kili Shuatcha, Tipinu Kol Hayom. Kivinu, Tipinu Kol Hayom. The statement is that you say three times in Lachash. Atzemach David of the Chamer at Asmiach, Atzemach Kadosh Baruch Hu, we hope for Mashiach. That's what it means. Atzemach David of the Chamer at Asmiach, the Kramot of Mishuatecha. Kili Shuatcha, Kivinu, Tipinu Kol Hayom. So somebody is going to ask you, what's the purpose that you say? That you want a Kadosh Baruch Hu to bring what we call the root of Mashiach. It says, Kili Shuatcha. We hope for your favor. Not for me, for you. And it says, Zeh ayom asa Hashem nagila v'nit mechabo, says the Gemara, Vo b'kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar b'yom ha'u, Hine Elokeinu, Zeh kivinu lo, kivinu lo v'yoshienu. Zeh Hashem kivinu lo, nagila v'nit mechabo b'shuvato. Says the Gemara, what it means is that you have to hope for the favor for Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not you personal. If you wait for Mashiach for your personal thing, he might not come so quickly. Or maybe Goel Ibnev Nehem, the man Shmo Be'arba. Not the man Shmi, the man Shmenu. The man Shmo Be'arba. So he says, somebody's going to ask you, he says, what are you waiting for? You have to say, what says Shmuel Esra? Ki Yeshuatcha, ki binu v'tipinu kol hayom. I'm waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeshua. That's the death of the Teish Manasseh. I'm waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is really what explanation. When Yaakov Avinu saw, when Yaakov Avinu saw in his prophet in Ruach HaKodesh that Shimshon is supposed to be the first Mashiach, is going to be killed by the Pishtim, he said, Yeshua Chakiviti Hashem. What does it mean? He's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your benefit, I hope, not for my benefit. This is a special sentence. The Chachamim say you should always say that if Chas V'Shalom, a person is in trouble, Chas V'Shalom. He says, you have a hard time. Chas V'Shalom in business, Chas V'Shalom in any situation, that the person feels he is trapped. This is the easiest way to get out of a problem. Is to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your sake, called Yeshuatcha Kiviti Hashem. It says that is the sentence, it's called the magic sentence that Yaakovina wanted to save Shimshon. It says he saw Shimshon is going to be killed by Pishim. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu for your sake you should save him. Not for his sake, not for my sake, and not for his own sake. And that's what Chachamim say, that you should say that Pasuk in Hebrew, you should say Pasuk in Aramaic. Because certain angels would help you faster or better if you speak Aramaic, and you say it Aramaic. Some Chachamim say it's better to say it only Aramaic. Some people say that you should switch the words to say one time you say Yeshuatcha Kiviti Hashem, then say Kiviti Hashem Yeshuatcha, Hashem Yeshuatcha Kiviti. Some Chachamim say you should say it before you go to sleep. It's before you go to sleep if you want to make sure you're going to get up. And you're not going to be at night, Chas V'Shalom situation, you won't be able to get up in the morning. You should say that sentence as many times as you can. Because this is a magic sentence, says Ari, that Yaakov Avinu taught us. It's not what Yaakov Avinu was saying at the time when he saw what was going to happen to Shimshon. It says, if you hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, most probably HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you better. But if you do it for your own, Chas V'Shalom, you might not always be successful. Of course, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ask you, and he appeals to you, and he asks you what you want, so the simple answer should be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what I need, and that's what the Gemara said, when Hashem asks Bilam, and Hashem asks Hezekiah, when Hashem asks Cain, the question, the answer should be, you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says this is just a trap, a question. But if really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking you what you want and you really want to tell him what you want, you tell him, Kiddush Shvatcha, Kivinu Kula Yom. He says, there is a death and real answer. If Hashem asks you what you want, he says, I want your pleasure. Not my pleasure, not my will, I want you to be happy. This is called Yeshua Tchakim in the Koreo. So in all respects, says Dari, if you read that chapter, you see that it's not 100%. Again, this chapter is not in order to Chachamim. If you remember, the opening statement of this chapter was that Shlomo married the daughter of Aro. This is not yet. Not yet. Now Shlomo is going to be 12. He did not marry her when he was 12. He was married her when he was 16. Nevertheless, the chapter is not in order. The opening part of the chapter was that he married the daughter of Paro, and he brings her to Yerushalayim, and he's going to build her, have palace, and also he's going to build a Tamidosh. So the chapter is not in order. It's only to tell you the failure of Mimis A, of the behavior of Shlomo HaMelech. And that's what the Gemara is going to say, that you know that statement, what the Nabi is going to say, that really the secret is that Shlomo HaMelech is going to marry that non-Jewish girl, the daughter of Paro, is because he killed less chapter Shini ben Gera, that was his rabbi, and that's what really the whole book of the Malachim you're going to go through, you're going to see that almost no one survived with a good reputation from the kings, because they did not discuss everything with the rabbi. Asel Lecharav says in Mishnah Pesukei Avot, if you want to save yourself from being trapped, you must ask somebody smart and say, your rabbi, what to do. If you don't ask him, you're going to fall down. This is the first example, Sefer Melachim Kratish Shlomo HaMelech. Since his rabbi was Shimi ben Gera, he killed his rabbi. He was appointed by Nabi to teach his son Shlomo that he was very smart, Shimi ben Gera. Shlomo killed him, and then the Gemara says, since he killed him, he's going to marry the daughter of Paro, and he's not going to discuss this marriage with anybody else. And so he says, if you're going to read the whole book of Sefer Melachim, you see that almost no one discussed anything with the Nabi or with the rabbi. Even the ones that being described as holy people, like Yoash, it was holy at the end of his life. In Sefer Devarim, it says bad things about him. Even Yoshiyahu, being described from Malachim, that no one was like him. Again, the king of Paro came and killed him because he did not listen to Yirmiyahu. Hezekiah did not want to listen to Yishayahu, did not want to discuss certain things with Yishayahu. It is constantly you see that it means that it's not for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's your sake. If you really worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake, you discuss it with the rabbi. Says Dari, that here the Shlomo HaMelech says, Vayav Shlomo et Hashem, he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Nabi will tell you, he loves Hashem. Hashem is being described as God of mercy, Yudkevake. He loves Hashem. He says, Hashem has mercy. I love him very well. I'll get along with him. Everything will be perfect. He says, it takes 1,000 animals, sacrifice them all lot. I don't need to eat the meat from them, I need anything, I'm the best thing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only that, my name is Yedidya, I'm a personal friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No one else in the Tanakh in history was named by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a personal friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yedidya, not Abraham, not Yitzchak, not Yaakov, not Moshe, no one was described and named by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What the friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means? That you worry about your friend. What is Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha? It's not what you want, it's what he wants. It is perfect. That says, Shlomo loves Hashem. Says, but don't forget, the opening statement was, he's going to marry the Shikseh. He says, going to marry the Shikseh because his rabbi is not there. He says, the whole thing is already falling apart. The whole thing is contradiction. He says, I'm going to show you how much he loves Hashem. He loves Hashem as a Yud Kevake. Hashem as just mercy, he loves him. He sacrificed him a lot. Perfect. The perfect job. It's very nice. Hashem says, he goes over there to Givon. He says, no, I not even sacrifice in a private altar. He goes to Givon. In Givon, there is over there the altar of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to do the job over there. 1,000 animals. Only perfect for Hashem. Nothing for himself. It's a perfect job. He says, Hashem is going to come to him at night. He says, you're not so stable, you already killed your rabbi, you have no rabbi. Let me tell you something. I'm going to ask you a question. Says the Midrash, Hashem never asked a person besides Shlomo this question, as a living person. The second person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is asking the question is Mashiach. Shal mimneni v'etna. It says in chapter 2 in Sefer Tehillim, Hashem speaks to the Mashiach asking, what can I give you? Hashem never asked anybody in the universe, what should I give you? Because that is the answer should be, Hashem, you give me yours, pleasure, your pleasure, your redemption. Mishuakha tibiti Hashem. So that is, when you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything, if you pray for anything and you expect anything, say it's not for me, it's for you. You have to be truthful that whatever you need is not for you, it's for him. When you ask for him, you might get it. If you ask for yourself, Shlomo HaMelech, he says, what do you need? It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me tell you, I really know I'm 12 years old, I'm a little boy, and I'm supposed to judge. Because listen, that's not what you're supposed to ask. Mechila, I tell you, forgive me. It says, what you're supposed to ask, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kili shuatcha, kibinu v'tipinu kol hayom. You ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, favor. You don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have to be the judge. You don't have to be the judge. Who said you have to be the judge? Like this, don't be the judge. He says, you're creating already a problem. He says, they can have fights, they can have argument. I want to be the judge. You know, better off you pray. They should not have problems. Who said that you have to have a good doctor? You don't need a good doctor. You need to be well. If you don't pray to have a good doctor, which means you get sick. You don't want to get sick. You don't ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have to be the judge. A judge is already red light. You should not ask for being a judge. If you want to be smart, so you need to be smart. Who needs to be smart? You need to say Lishuatcha Kiviti Hashem, and you're asking for trouble. You're asking for problems. It says, don't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you want to be a judge. Who said that you have to be a judge? Who said it's going to be fights? You don't. The Gemara says, Masechet Terachim, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a complaint, big complaint against Yeshua Bino, and the name of Yeshua is missing the hay. In Sefer Melachim. Later. No, I'm sorry, not Sefer Melachim. Sefer Ezra. I said, when Israel came from exile after instruction of Sefer Hamikdash, I said, they made Sukkot. So Ezra was there, they made Sukkot. And over there, Yeshua is written in the Navi without a Yeshua. Says the Gemara, Masechet Erechin, I believe page 32, I don't remember the page exactly. Says the Gemara that Hashem is a complaint about Yeshua. Says when you came to Eretz Israel, you should have asked right when you came to Kadosh Baruch Hu to destroy the Yetzirah, the evil part. The Gemara, Masechet Sukkah, I believe page 53 says, in the time of Mashiach, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to slaughter the Yetzirah. You're not going to have an evil part in your heart. You're going to be 100%. So the Gemara, I complain against Yeshua, when you took Am Yisrael and you crossed the Jordan River, the minute you arrived in Israel, you should have said and asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want redemption, we don't want the evil part inside us. Since he did not ask, the Gemara said Hashem has a complaint against him. He says, you don't have to be a judge. If Hashem asks you what you want, says Ari, that's what he should have said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want every part to go away from me. I am Yedid Yah. I'm the friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's perfect. That's what you should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you don't need to be a judge, because you're not going to be a fight. It's not going to be a terror, it's not going to be any more fights. It says people are fighting and arguing because they have every part inside themselves. If every part will not be there, they will not fight. You don't have to be the judge. Who said you have to be the judge? Therefore the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Shlomo in the dream at night, the description is that already Shlomo had so-called a hint from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that something is wrong, that the appearance is at night for him, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu usually appears at night either for the Goyim like Laban, like Abimelech, or like Paroh in a dream, or to Yaakov, and Yaakov goes to exile in Parashat Vayigash, that it is bad news, what we call. And says HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and the judge is speaking to him. He says, what do you want? He says, the judge is speaking to me, Elohim is speaking to me, of course, the judge is speaking to me, I will not say the wrong thing. He says, but Dari says, well, so since you killed your rabbi already, you have no more rabbi, he says, well, you're going to say whatever you want to say. And therefore, he's going to ask, and Hashem is very happy, he's pleased. Again, not Hashem is pleased, but again, the entity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleased with an answer. This is not as for what we call materialistic items. Nevertheless, if you remember, the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech, immediately after, he said he's going to have a lot of wives and a lot of horses and a lot of money, even though Hashem warned the king not to have that thing. And the Gemara says, the Midrash says, the letter Yud, that it says, Lo Yarbelo Nashim, Chesed Lezav Lo Yarbelo Meod, it says, the letter Yud came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, this smart man, the smartest one ever, is going to use the Torah to on his own way, what we call reform. And says he's going to explain it like the Karaim used to do. And says, that's the way I believe in the Torah, and I can switch whatever I like, and I can omit certain sentences. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the letter Yud that came to him, he says, what's going on? He says, Shlomo said that you said in the Torah that if you're going to have a lot of wealth, he's not going to behave, and you said he will behave. You said in the Torah that if he's going to have a lot of wives, he's not going to behave, and you said he will behave. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said Shlomo is being cancelled. You're not going to be cancelled. One letter of the Torah will stay forever, and Shlomo and his friends will be cancelled. And Kadosh Baruch Hu was upset at him from the first moment. So the Gemara says that's really the opening of that chapter to tell you that the whole idea of Shlomo HaMelech, of course he had, of me say, the capability to be the friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but since that chapter starts after the death of his rabbi, it says look at the disaster. He's asking something really not materialistic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving it to you. But in the same moment, we know that that materialistic thing that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for free is going to be a backfire to him. He's going to fall in a trap with that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will upset him. And then Hashem says to immediately warns him in the dream, and he tells him, "But if you listen, you're going to live a long time." It is immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu already warning him that he's not going to live for a long time, because you don't have to have a warning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that dream that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, already you're being smart. So what did he get from being smart? What did he get? So then Navi will tell you later, next week maybe we'll learn the story about the two ladies that came and says, everybody appreciate you smart. He says, that smartness did not give you anything. So this is really what it means, what the Navi says, that Chokhmah, that wisdom was in his heart, not in his brain. I said the brain is very straightforward. The heart is a little bit with feelings. I said that always constantly a person has a war in his body between his brain and his heart. The heart is mekom hayetzerara. That every part, the Gemara say, shochen al mafteach halev. If somebody is going to ask you the bad decision that you made, who is responsible? It's not your brain. Is the Yetzirah sits on the top of the heart, and he sends a message to the brain. He has a fight with the brain. The brain says, don't do it. And he doubts it. He says, why did you do it? He says, well, I was tempted. I could not make a decision, the right decision. He says, that is what Hashem told Shlomo. With all the respect, you wanted to have wisdom. I'm giving you wisdom in your heart, because your brain is not clear, because you killed your rabbi, and you're really not for my benefit. It's for your benefit. Your benefit is your heart. It is the brain benefit is which was Hakivit Yashem. It is if you want to win, if we may say mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only if you're working for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not if you're working for yourself and you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give it to you. So this is really the appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in three entities in the dream, just to show you that Shlomo Melech is not, if we may say, stable for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the beginning he sacrificed 1,000 sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says he's going to Givon. It is the altar in Givon, he's going to sacrifice in Givon. He says then HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him, what you want? He says instead to answer, Lishuotcha kiviti Hashem, I want you. He said he wants to be smart. He says, okay, sounds good, but again, find out later, he's going to marry 1,000 ladies, among them a lot of shikses. Hashem is going to be upset at him. He's going to end up with a tragedy that his wife, the Gemara said, he himself being described, that he himself is worshipping Avodah Zarah. The Gemara said, no, that doesn't mean that. Only means that he did not tell his wife not to do it. And his wife publicly in the palace used to do ktoret, to sacrificing to Avodah Zarah. And Shlomo HaMelech, we say, was paralyzed or was ignorant and to question what he was, he let them do what they want in his palace, that the palace he built for 13 years for Bat Parosh. She's sacrificing Avodah Zarah, she's doing bad things against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's quiet. Then he says, listen, this is going to happen. He gets up in the end, it's Halom, it's a dream. What it means is, that's bad news. A dream, bad news, it's not a prophecy. He says, you know why? Soon you're going to see, he's making a party, he's very happy, Baruch Hashem, he hears the Gemara says, he hears the birds, he knows what they're talking about. He says, the bottom line says, that what happened from all this? A disaster. The Gemara says that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because he killed Shimi, first one. Second one, Chachamim wanted to pull his neshama out of Gan Eden, put him in Gehenom. He says, that's all because comes to one point, Atzeh lecharah v'tneh lechachaber, says Dari, that Shlomo HaMelech was the mother that did not listen to no one. He says, his life is going to be a disaster, he's going to die young, even though he's going to be very, very smart, his life is going to end up with a tragedy. The Gemara says, only just before he died, he wrote Mishle, Kohelet and Shir Hashem. Just, if you don't know, there's no information why he had his Zuchud, his merit to do it. But again, the Midrash says, don't think that all his life he was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was so good to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so he was a candidate to save Am Israel. His name was Yedidya, but he did not end as Yedidya. He's sacrificing Shlamim, he's making a party to his friends. He says he's not sacrificing anymore 1,000. He doesn't do what he did in the beginning because of what he said. He says this is not what he should have answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have answered. Sha'am ma'etem lach. He says Dari, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to a person and asks him what you want. He said Kili Shuat Ha Kivinu Kol Hayom. Again, based on the sentence of Yaakov Avinu that had hoped with that sentence he'll be able to save Shimshon from the tragedy. This is the only way, says Dari, to be safe from tragedy, to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's for your sake, not for my sake.